This is December 22nd, Dallas Snyder. The topic this month is unity.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, the topic this month is unity, and it's always going to be unity, by the way, because the whole idea of this teaching is to remind you and to remind everybody that we are one with this thing called God, or we are one with one source and one source only, and that we're connected with that. That's why we use that little expression, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because God is everything and everybody. But you have to know that you're not separated from this thing called God. You have to know that you're one and the same. It boils down to you have to know that you are it. And that's a big one for some people to swallow, but you have to know that you are it. For the people who weren't here last week, I'll give out the CDs again. But for the people last week, have you been listening to the CDs that I gave you? Well, see, it won't do a damn bit of good unless you listen to it. So, you know, you'll get that. I'll give it to one of your mother. That CD contains everything that you need to know about this teaching. Contains everything. But it's like the mental equivalent. You have to keep listening to it. You have to keep listening to it until you pick out the things that make sense to you, until you are able to embody them. Until you're able to embody them. But we'll talk about that later. So let's start tonight with this one. It's a long one. I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous, just as I am. I am totally loved. Now you say it to her.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous, just as I am. I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous, just as I am. I am totally loved.
Behind you.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and... Is it marvelous?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll go for it. Just as I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved.
Should I go back next,
please?
Should I
start
over here?
Sure.
I say it to you. I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved.
I am beautiful. I have done nothing wrong. I am perfect and marvelous just as I am. I am totally loved. Pills.
Very, very important. Now, when you read this to the other person and you said this about yourself, what did your mind say to you? You have to hear what your mind is saying. You see, you are beautiful. Every human being is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. You have to see that. And you have to know that. When you look in the mirror, you have to say to yourself, I'm beautiful. You have to be able to say that to yourself. So work on it till you're able to say that. See, we think, oh, Angelina Jolie is beautiful, but I'm not. But you are beautiful, you see. Don't qualify yourself. Let yourself know that you're beautiful. You are a creation of this thing called God. Therefore, you have to be beautiful. Years ago, you heard the old saying, God does not make junk. Well, you're not joke. You're beautiful. And I have done nothing wrong. This is very important to know. We had one before that I passed around. Remember, I am innocent. I am innocent. You have to know that you're innocent. You have to know that you have done nothing wrong. But your mind tells you, oh no, you did this when you did this and you did that. Forget all of that. And tell yourself you have done nothing wrong. You have made mistakes. You have made errors in your life through wrong judgment. But now you're thinking differently. And you're not that person that you used to be. That person who made those mistakes, did that stuff, is no longer in existence. So you're punishing somebody that's no longer here. But you say, oh, but I did that. Yes, you did do that. But now you forgive yourself for that and realize, I'm not going to do that again. At this point in my life, I've learned more. If I had the knowledge that I have now, I wouldn't have done that. But I didn't have it, so I did the very best I knew how. I did the very best I knew how to do. It was wrong, it turned out a mess, the whole works. But I am no longer that person, so why are you punishing somebody that no longer exists? You see, you have to realize that when you get up in the morning and you go through your day and you go to bed at night, from here to there, you're not the same person. You have grown in some way during the day. You have learned something that you didn't learn before or didn't know before. So you're completely different. So if you did something in the morning, by evening, you have figured out and learned something. You have to forgive yourself and say, well, I'm not that person anymore. I'm completely innocent. Always start your life out and your day out with, I'm innocent. I've done nothing wrong. You see, you can't carry that burden. You just can't keep carrying all that stuff. And your mind loves to tell you that. Your mind will always tell you what you have done wrong. Has your mind ever told you what you've done right? No, and it won't. It won't do that. You have to do that for yourself. I am perfect and marvelous just the way I am. You have to know that you are perfect. You are absolutely perfect. But here again, we look at other people and we say, well, his hair is better, or his smile is better, or this and that. You're saying, remember, you're an individualized expression of this thing called God. Individualized. There's only one of you. There's only one of you. So you can't compare yourself to anything. You see, you're the rarest of the rare. There's no comparing you to anybody. Never before was there anyone like you, and never again will there be anyone like you. So, we cannot compare. And by the way, in this teaching, we never compare. We never do that, you see. We don't believe in comparing, and we don't do anything called competition, because we believe in creativity, not competition. And if somebody's competing with you, love them. Love them and learn something from them. But don't compete with them. Know that you have creativity, and your creativity will outdo any of that competition. The world outside is based on competition. We teach children at a very early age that they must compete. The world's getting more and more so competitive. Look at kids today. By three, they're in some kind of a game which they have to win. Soccer, this, that, the other thing. It's always compete, 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 compete. We're not here to compete against. If you want to compete about something, compete against yourself. How am I doing? Not how other people are doing. Use your creativity for that type of thing. How am I growing? How am I thinking? What's new and different here? But winning a game, to turn this whole thing into one big game, is ridiculous. It's like that bumper sticker that I read years ago. It said, he who has the most toys wins. He who has the most toys wins. You know, that's not what we're here for, to collect all this stuff. It's the old saying, you can't take any of this with you. You're only using it. You may think it belongs to you, but try taking it with you. It won't go. And then, know that you are totally loved. This is absolutely necessary to know that you are totally loved. And that this thing called God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, loves you. Out and out loves you. God never holds anything against you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God doesn't do things like that. But here again, we have been taught lies. Now, speaking about lies and twaddle, I got this Christmas card in the mail from a dear friend of mine, Henny Hamilton and his wife Barb. Henny was a friend of mine since first grade, and he's become a Christian. I try to use that word nicely. And here it says, God's gift. Little baby on the hay. Soon there'll be another day. When nails shall pierce your hands and feet. As you provide our sinners' defeat. Risen Jesus on the throne. We lift our praise to you alone. For you're the gift that we receive. The moment that our heart believes. I went into an absolute rage when I got this. An absolute rage. This is so ridiculous. It's complete twaddle. Now, first of all, little baby on the hay. We have no idea where Jesus was born. In fact, we don't even know if Jesus existed. You see, this teaching believes in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Nor do we think that Jesus was a savior. We think he was a teacher, and what he said was marvelous. But we teach this to children, and then to say, here's a little baby laying in the hay, and guess what? Someday we're going to pierce your hands and feet. We're going to put you on a cross. They didn't know that. They had no idea. And as you provide our sins defeat. You see, everybody thinks that Jesus came here to take away our sins. Well, Jesus never said that. No one's here to take away your sins. First of all, give up that word that you're sinners. You're not born in sin. You may have made a lot of mistakes and so forth, but I doubt anyone in this room is running around sinning and sinning and sinning, whatever you want to call that. Just say. So, Jesus did not die on the cross to save anyone from sin, because we're not sinners to begin with. And then, risen Jesus on the throne. Now here, they're going to tell you that there's a place called heaven, and God and Jesus are sitting up there on thrones. And then they throw out God completely and say, we lift our praise to you alone. We lift our praise to you alone. For you're the gift that we receive the moment that our hearts believe. Well, it's always going to be done unto you as you believe. It's always going to be that. But it's not going to be all this other little absolute lies. And you see, that's what happened to us all. We bought into all these lies that the world out there is telling us all the time. Stop buying into these things. You see, we're too old now. We're not children anymore. We have to learn to think for ourselves. This is complete twaddle, and no one with a mind of any type could accept this. You see, Christianity is a mystery religion. A mystery religion is one that you cannot figure out. And it completely baffles the mind. Completely baffles the mind. Religious science does not baffle the mind. It teaches you how to think, not what to think. So learn to think for yourselves. What do you think about all these different things? And here it is, a time, and I'll go on what they tell me. They sign it here saying, may Jesus, God's gift. Now here, Jesus, God's gift. we say in the Bible, it says, the unbegotten Son of God. We are all begotten sons and daughters of God. Now, we make this thing that God does not show favorites. Yet immediately, they tell you that Jesus must have been God's favorite because he was God's only son, and he was able to do all these things. And remember the three things that we were learning? All things are possible with God. You can do this in greater things. And it's always done unto you as you believe. You can do exactly the same things that Jesus did. He learned how to do those by raising his own consciousness. So anyway, may Jesus' gift be real to you this Christmas. Well, I have a nice retort for these people. But this is the type of thing, and then we wonder why the world is in the shape it's in, and why people do not like each other. You see. You cannot like yourself if you think you're a sinner. You cannot like yourself if you don't know that you're innocent. And it has to start with you and with liking yourself. You see. You have to learn to like yourself, and then you have to learn to love yourself. Then you can love other people, and then you can love this thing called God. God does not need your love, by the way. God does not need worship, by the way. God is always going to be beyond words and thoughts. You see, you can't describe this thing called God. So you don't have to do that to yourself. But you have to start thinking of yourself as part of God, and that you are innocent, and that if there's any forgiving of sins, you have to forgive yourself. You see, God cannot forgive you because God has never condemned you. God never holds anything against you. God loves you unconditionally. So now you must learn to love yourself unconditionally, and when you make a mistake or you think you made a sin, sit down and forgive yourself, and then don't do it again. Don't do it again. See, if you just keep redoing it and redoing it and redoing it, have you learned anything? No. Remember? So the whole idea here in this teaching, remember, is change your mind, change your life. And remember in the Bible it says repent, repent, repent. Repent merely means to rethink. Rethink what you've done and choose a better way to do it. Choose a better thought for yourself. And don't let your mind keep telling you how awful you are. You see, you have to stop that. What inside of you is causing that? It could be a parental voice, it could be a group voice, it can be anything. But you have to catch that and say to yourself, hey, wait a minute. I'm whole, complete, and perfect here. Let's say. And your head's not going to get big. You're not going to get conceited and all that kind of stuff. You're just not going to do it. Now, my other card on a lighter note is from my dear friend Lewis. And it says, in 1975, I ran into an old acquaintance who asked me, are you still doing high kicks? His idea of what ballet dancing was all about. On March 8th, I will be 90 years old. And yes, I am still doing high kicks. Merry Christmas. And there he is in his dance studio, still dancing. Still dancing. Now, he's living to be 90. He'll probably live to be more than that. What we don't get in this world of ours is the idea, exercise. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself if you want to live longer. You have to keep exercising. You have to keep moving. It doesn't mean that you have to go to the gym day in and day out. But you have to exercise. Now, what else do we know about exercise? Exercise is good for your mind. You see, how many people worry about their liver, their heart, their kidneys, their this, their lungs, or anything. We're always concerned about all these organs in our body. No one ever thinks about their mind. You see? And it's an organ we have to take care of our minds. We have to realize that that's an organ also. So exercise is a good way for you to exercise your mind. Every time you exercise, your mind fires off a new synapse, and it builds synapses in there by doing something different. By doing something different. So why is that so important? Because it's a mental world we live in, and we're always using our mind. The reality that you see and the life that you have made for yourself, you have made with your mind. Not with your job and not with the money, but with your mind. So you have to protect your mind in these. So you have to do something with your mind. It's as simple and easy as that. So it's always going to be this mental world that we're living in. Always going to be that. So when you look out and you see all this material stuff, you have to realize that all this material stuff came from a thought of some sort. Somebody first said, I think I'm going to make a coffee table. And then a coffee table comes. So in your life, what are you thinking you want in your life? What are you building in your life with your thoughts, moment by moment? Moment by moment. So it's the thinking moment by moment, and it's the choices that you're making moment by moment. You just do that. You see? So when you get a thought you don't like, just let it come in and go out. You don't have to be attached to your thinking. You do not have to be attached to all that stuff that's going on in there. What one do you want to attach yourself to? You see? Because if you have a thought, I never get what I want. Now when you make that, that's an absolute mantra for yourself. So now your mind hears that and it starts to go and collect all the reasons why and everything else that went wrong in your life, and it clusters them all together. Now you have that big thing to go through. You have that big thing to tear apart. So when you have the first thought, get rid of it immediately. But we entertain it. And then it invites other thoughts to it, like thoughts. The whole idea of birds of a feather flock together. That thinking just came. And it started with just one, what we call a one-liner. And it just added. And it just adds on to that. See? So, with the new year coming up in, what, less than 2 weeks, decide, how am I going to do my 2009? How am I going to live that year? The same way that I lived last year with those same thoughts? Those thoughts that I may have had for the last 30 years. And I fought and fought and rethought them, and they always come out the same. Remember, a thought, if you have a thought and you get the answer to that thought, it's always going to be that same thing because it's an equation. It's like 2 and 2 equal 4. You cannot make 2 and 2 equal 5. The same thought will always produce the same result. But people think, oh, this time it will be different. It is not going to be different. Take my word for it. It's going to come out exactly the same way. So, with this new year coming, how could you change your thinking so that 2009, this is hard for me to think about, how is 2009 going to be different from 2008? The only way it's ever going to be different, it's not going to be different because you are going to get more money. Now, money is very nice, and you may have nicer things, but it doesn't matter how nice your things are and how many things you have. If you do not have peace of mind, if you do not love yourself, what good is anything? What good is it? So learn to love yourself. And how would you go about that, learning to love yourself? Rhoda is taking exercise classes. That's one way to start loving yourself. Take a walk, read a book, do something that will change your thinking. The only way your life is ever going to change is by changing your thinking about yourself. It's the only way that it happens. Otherwise, it will always stay the same. And the more and more and more you learn to love yourself, learn to accept yourself, the more you're going to have in your life. And you're going to get that peace which passes all understanding. You see, I say this many times. People think they want money. They think they want this. They want the love affair. They want this, that, and the other. Everyone in this room, including myself, what we really want is peace of mind. We would like our mind to stop torturing us all the time. That's what we want. And I'm telling you that you can have it. But you have to discipline yourself. And it doesn't mean that you have to be rigid and all that. By disciplining yourself, it means that you have to become a witness to your thinking. You have to be able to see what your mind is doing to you. You see. Now we have, you were here once before you say it, and you're of course new in the group. Do you realize that you're not your mind? You have to realize that you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Just the way you use your computer. You tell your computer what you want it to do. You type in things. You give it commands. You do things. But you let this computer in your head, which is the largest and smartest and biggest computer in the universe. I think I told you this once before. If they made a computer that could do everything that our minds do, that the human mind does, it would take up half the United States. It would have to be that big. Because this mind of ours can do so many things. So you have to look at it, you see, is that. Then we talked also about the idea that the gift is already given. If you think that God is going to step down, first of all, you have to know that God is very intelligent. And if God is looking over this earth and sees all this crap that's going on, you think God's going to come down? Now, if you were intelligent, would you want to come? You would say, no, let them alone. The gift has been given. God has given you everything you need. Not only to survive, but to thrive on this plane of action. So you have to know that. Then you have to know that you were the one who decided to come here to have this experience. And you have to say, this is a wonderful experience. I'm having fun with this experience. I am enjoying this experience. Why would anyone not want to enjoy their life? Why would anyone pick to say, I don't enjoy my life? You see, you have to enjoy your life. If you're not enjoying your life, you can't blame it on anything but yourself. You see. And I don't like the word blame, and I don't like to place blame on anything. I don't place blame on my own self. But you have to realize, I have a mind. The gift has been given. And I can use my mind to bring into my life those things that I want. And then decide, what do you want? I want peace. I want beauty. I want money. I want a relationship. Whatever it is that you want, your mind will produce that for you. Your mind will do it for you. But it's done with thinking, and it's done with changing that thinking. Those habitual thoughts that you picked up somewhere, which are lies, Most of the things that you're telling yourself is a lie. You see? If you tell yourself, I can't do that, that's a lie. The gift has been given. You have a mind. If you study, if you have a desire, if you have a willingness, you can learn to do it. But yet you say, oh, I can't do that. You see? You have to be bold with your life. Remember this expression, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. You have to be bold with your life. You have to live your life. You have to get out there. But you have to give up the idea that you were plunked down here by accident. There's no such thing as chance or accident. So say, look at that. You were floating around in consciousness. You did not have a body. And you said to yourself, oh, I'd like to experience a body. Because if I had a body, then I could experience joy, pain, blah, 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 whatever. Everything that you're having here is an experience. You're just qualifying it by saying this is a good experience and that is a bad experience. Why don't you from now on just say, I'm having an experience. I'm experiencing this. I'm not thrilled with it at the present moment, but I'm experiencing it. As soon as you look at it and start to love it, it goes away. But when you start to resist it, it stays with you and stays with you until you're able to look at any situation with love. You see? You have to look at every situation with love. It is as it is. I am who I am. And the only time is now. So you have to learn to love everything that's in front of you. And once you learn to love everything that's in front of you, what's in front of you changes. What's in front of you changes. But if you hate everything in front of you, it's going to stay that way. It's going to stay that way. It's done with your mind. It's done with your attitude. But it's done with an attitude about yourself. Once you realize that you're connected to this source, to this power, to this thing called God, and that your life is the life of God. What other life is there? What other life is there? There's only the life of God. And we each contain that. That's why we're able to say that we're all one, that we're connected. Because of this power, this energy that's running through us all is the same energy. And we're connected with it. We're connected with it. So you're not outside looking in. You're in the midst of it. And you are it. So learn that. And then say to yourself, okay, I chose to come here. And I chose these parents that I came through. Because I needed to learn something from them and they needed to learn something from me. You see, if you think that it was an accident of birth, you're wrong. You see, you only come through your parents, but you're not of your parents. You're of this thing called God. But in order to enter this plane of action, you have to come through your mother to get here. You just come through. So once you know that and you say, oh, there's no such thing as chance or accident. This thing has a reason behind it. Now let's start to figure out the reason. Well, what do you think the reason for you to be here is? The reason for you to be here is it's quite simple. It's to enjoy. If you go through your whole life and you do not enjoy, you've missed the point of this. And the reason why we miss the point that it's here for joy is because the world tells us you must get a job, you must do this, you must do that, you must suffer, you must keep your nose to the grindstone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So then, what do? You become human doings instead of human beings. The whole idea in life is just to be. To be what? To be filled with love, to be filled with joy, to be filled with bliss. not to be filled with all the other stuff, the stress, the struggle, the strain, and all the stuff that people think. That people think. You know, I think it's only in the last 40 years that the word stress became a physical term instead of an architectural term. Stress was an architectural term. We decided that we're under stress. And then, boy, did that sell a lot of pills. So why don't you decide that you're not under stress and you don't have to get into all the stuff that's going on out there in the world? I said at the beginning of December that this is one of the months where things open, consciousness opens up, but all kinds of other things open up too, because people get frantic out there. And why do they get frantic? Because they think that they have to live up to the Joneses. And they think they have to spend a great deal of money because it's Christmas. Because it's a holiday that is completely gone banana. Completely gone banana. Does anyone know that Christmas centuries ago was for adults? It never included children. But now children have taken over Christmas. Because of gifts and so forth. But think about it in this time. And you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be any church, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, whatever. You see, you think God knows the difference between a Christian and a Jew or a Muslim? God doesn't know that. Only we do that. We're the ones who keep separating. Religion is always going to separate. Spirituality is always... Wait, please. Merry Christmas. Nice seeing you. So, where was I?
God can't tell the difference between...
Yes, God can't tell the difference. You know, the way God can't tell the difference between big and small. God doesn't say, oh, you look Jewish, and you look Christian, and you look Muslim. We do that to ourselves. So give that idea up. And know that God is running through you, as it's running through everything. And then you can start to use that power in a different way. But if you're going to go back to the faith of your fathers, you're going to go back to all that twaddle that I read earlier, there isn't much hope for you. Because it muddles the mind. And the media tells you that you're a sinner. Now, do you want to get up every morning and think that you're a sinner? Wouldn't you like to get up every morning and say, ah, I'm innocent, I've done nothing wrong, this is going to be a wonderful day, and this thing called God is right here working through me, helping me at all times, and if I lose my keys or my glasses, all I have to do is ask and they will tell me where they are. See? But we get frightened, don't we? And we don't ask, and we think, well, we can do it ourselves. Give up the idea that you can do everything yourself. Or give up the idea that you think you have to do everything yourself. You don't have to do everything yourself. Who made that up? Who made that up? Rhoda earlier said she loved the affirmation that I gave you. I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You see. Because the mind is always going to tell you, you don't have enough, you don't do enough, and you aren't enough. Regardless. Why do you think people keep going to school and getting more degrees and more degrees and more degrees and more degrees? Because the mind keeps saying, you're not enough. Well, you're a doctor, now get another one. It's never the mind. Your mind is never going to let you rest. You have to know that. So you have to say to yourself, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. And stop listening to that little part of your mind, that ego part of your mind that always wants to keep you racing. Why does it want to keep you racing like that? Because it doesn't want you ever to know who you are. It doesn't want you to know that you're connected to God. It wants you to think that you're separate and that you're a sinner and you've done something wrong and now you're being punished. And I know people who go through most of their life thinking they're being punished for being here. I must have done something wrong. I'm being punished. You are not being punished. Give that idea up. Learn to love yourself. That's what this whole month is about. This season of Christmas, Hanukkah, and all of it, is about love. But not love for God and Jesus and all, love for yourself. Love for yourself. Can you see how much different your life would be if you loved yourself? You see, you wouldn't have to go out and do all these other crazy things trying to obtain love. You have to know that you're totally loved. You have to know that you are love itself. And you stop looking for it and start being it. You see? You're always looking for all these things. Instead of looking, start being. Give up the search. And say, I have it all. And that it comes to you. Alright, let me do some cards. You run your life on such negative matrons. That's plural for matra. And matras that are lies. But are so deeply embedded in that you honestly believe they are you. How many people here do that to themselves? What would be when I'm not stupid? I can't make money. Whatever they are. But then you start to believe that. I did something wrong. Now I'm being punished. That's the biggest one. You've done nothing wrong. We've all done crazy, stupid things, and that's all they are, and you did them to learn something. So learn something from them. And then give it up and love yourself. This is a conditioned world which tells you that that joy, that wonder, that bliss of just being all right is somehow not enough. Somehow not enough. You can't just sit and be. Because your mind says you should get up and do something. Oh, you better do this, you better get that done, you better do that, da 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 da. Learn to just sit and be. You don't have to rush around with it, like a chicken with its head cut off. Identify what it is inside of you that keeps telling you you have to be something else. Identify what it is inside of you that keeps telling you that you have to be something else. Now that's a horrible one. If we keep thinking we have to be something else or somebody else. You are you. You are it. You are a magnificent human being. Accept that for yourself. Accept that for yourself. Identify what it is inside of you that keeps telling you that you have to be something else. And it'll be a parental voice. You'll either hear your mother's voice or your father's voice, I can assure you. It'll be a parental voice of some sort. Now, thank that voice very much and tell it to stop doing that. Stop feeling like you have to do it all and just be. Just be. You don't have to do it all. If things don't get done, they don't get done. What is the rush? Have you ever heard of the word eternity? Well, you have an eternity to do these things. Don't rush your life. I decided years ago to slow down so I could smell the flowers along the way. And most people zip right through life. They don't see any of the beauty in life. Did anyone see the beautiful clouds today? They were gorgeous. The clouds. This is what we're supposed to be here looking at and admiring and so forth. The beauty that's all around us. Start seeing that. And you'll certainly know that you live in a beautiful world. You are in charge of what you focus your awareness on. You are in charge of what you focus your awareness on. Where is your awareness? Where do you want your awareness to be? That's that whole thing of disciplining your mind. Always try to bring your mind back to your body. And that's what we don't do. We let our minds go someplace else. We sit in a class like this and we think, oh, did I water the plants? Oh, should I do that tomorrow? Oh, what should I have for dinner? And we plan. Anytime that you're doing this, you're not in the moment. You're somewhere else. The mind loves to keep all that going so that you never know where you are. All right? When you are just experiencing without thought, what you experience is your wonder, power, and beauty. Try to sit and not have a thought. And then it will come to you. You will experience the wonder, the power, and the beauty that you are. But you can't do it when you're thinking constantly, when you allow your mind to just keep going and going and going and going. And unless you stop your mind, it will never stop. It's like a hamster in one of those wheels that just keeps going and going and going. You believe that you rise up out of source, meaning God, leave source behind, and move into your life. What I am trying to show you is that you never leave the source, which is the essence of who you are. You cannot separate yourself from God. And that is your essence. And what is that essence? Well, that essence is love, number one. Love. On these tapes that I'm giving you, there's one phrase in there. And it says, whenever you're in difficulty, whenever you don't know what to do or how to do it, you say, what would love do now? What would love do now? See, and then if we always come from love, it changes the whole thing. What would love do now? If you are willing to be the experimenter, if you are willing to be the experiencer of essence in the midst of anything, you will be able to laugh at the inflated importance of your own repertory. If you are willing to be the experiencer of essence in the midst of anything, meaning, here again, become a witness, become an experience. Look at that thing and, yes, this is what I'm experiencing. Then look at that story that you're telling yourself. Look at that story you're telling yourself. And you're going to have to start to laugh. I had a client today in bad shape and I said, oh, on the pity pot. I said, I'll tell you how I get off the pity pot. When I'm on the pity pot, I get so pitiful. I just make, I exaggerate it so that you have to start to laugh. That you have to start to laugh. You're only telling yourself a story all the time. And then you believe that story that you're telling yourself. Oh, my life is horrible, and I'll tell you why. And then you know all the reasons why in this repertoire. There's on and on and on. It's just one big story. Stop telling that story. So in 09, if you want a different life, tell yourself a different story. Remember, you are the writer, the author of your life. And you're doing it moment by moment, choice by choice, with your thinking. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.